will really prompt all of us to get up and do something for the work of the ministry, especially in the aspect of soul winning. And God is calling us because people need the Lord. And they will never know the Lord. They will never know the Lord until they know the Lord Jesus Christ, or what the Lord Jesus Christ said in His Word. You see, so many people, they think that they have the Lord already. They know the Lord, but they do not know whether when they die, they will go to heaven. And that is the message that we are particularly, familiar about. And many of us know that message very well. So that message is what the people need to know, and how to get to heaven when they die. And again, we need to do that because people need the Lord. What a blessing it is that the Lord saved us. But it is a dreadful, dreadful reality that while we are saved, there are so many people that are not saved. And the difference is dreadful. The difference is very, very vast. It's about heaven and hell. That's the difference between us and them. That's why if we don't do it, then what can God do? Because He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:18, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And verse number 18, it says that, and all things are of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us. You see? Given to us. What is this that God has given to us? What is that? The ministry of reconciliation. First, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to God. Then Jesus Christ did that part. He finished that part. He went back to heaven, but He left to us. He left to our hands, to our shoulders, to carry the burden for the souls of men. He left to us. He has given to us. What is that? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us. That is why we have that great commission. The great commission said, go ye, because Jesus Christ will not. We are here, He is there. That is why we are commanded as believers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are commanded to go. Go ye therefore to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And in so many ways, in the book of John, the Great Commission is there. In the book of Matthew, the Great Commission is there. The book of Luke, the Great Commission is there. The book of Mark, the Great Commission is there. The book of Acts, the Great Commission is there. Because Jesus Christ has given this ministry to us so that, we can be God's ambassadors. We are God's ambassadors here. Notice that. To wait that God was in Christ, because they're like reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation, is that now then we are ambassadors. We are not ordinary people. We are not ordinary people. We are ambassadors. Ambassadors is a representative to a royal or a king. The king will not go reside in the country, but the ambassadors. God will not set His residence here in New Zealand, but us, because we are His ambassadors. We feel like we have nothing, we are poor, we have no power, but again, we have because we are God's ambassadors. See, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And this is the most important verse here in verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And again, people need the Lord. And tomorrow or Friday, we have to harness our understanding of the doctrine. We have to increase in our knowledge of the Word of God. That is why it is imperative that all of us must be here to learn more things about the things of God. Because these people will not come, will not always be here. And Pastor Phil Stringer, that is his specialty. He specializes in the doctrine of the Scripture. He specializes in the Word, especially the King James Bible. So we will look forward to receiving him, and I hope and pray that you will join us in praying for the victory this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the events there that we have. And with much prayer, I believe that the Lord will give us victory, and also let us actively invite as many people as we can, so that they can also share with us the blessing of these teachings that is going to come. All right. So please be praying for all of this. Let's go to the verse now that we are going to see in 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse number 18. Just one verse, and this is our kickstart, and we will launch from here. We'll see what the Lord will do to us. Let's all stand, please, and let's read this one verse together. Verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. If you are there, let's read this together. Verse number 18. Together now, ready to read. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I will repeat, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the past victories that we had and the visitors that we had for the past few days. Lord, I thank you that you have given us victories after victories in those meetings that that passed. And I pray, oh God, that the victory, Lord, will remain real in our lives, in our hearts, as we carry on and continue with the word. Lord, we will just ask you to please, Lord, keep us burning, keep us going, and keep us, Lord, doing the things that you want us to do, because there are so many people, Lord, around us, and so many people around the world that need to know Christ, that need to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are very much knowledgeable, Lord, when it comes to soul winning, and many of us, Lord, know how to win souls, but this is a problem because for many occasions we fail to do what we ought to do. And I pray, oh God, that you will once again help us in our endeavor, that we will be able to share the gospel to the people, because Lord, people need the Lord. People need you, oh God. And we are here, Lord, to help them, supposed to be. We are here to assist them and to give them aid, supposed to be. But Lord, we are entangled with so many things in this world. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word that made us and productive and fruitful. And Lord, please allow that we will not be entangled with all these material things, but rather, Lord, we'll be doing more and more on the things that give us eternal reward, things that have eternal value, especially in the souls of men. Bless us tonight, and we will just remember, Lord, of how good you are to us tonight in our message, in this message, oh God. I pray that the people will remember how good you are, and the people will become grateful. They will become thankful in everything that happens to us, Lord. We ought to be thankful because, Lord, you have allowed it to happen. And whether it's good or seemingly bad in our own sight and understanding, but Lord, we understand that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. So tonight, Lord, we will just commit to you our service, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will be the one that will take control of our service tonight. Keep us safe in this place. Hallow this place, Lord. Allow the angels, Lord, to gather round about, so that, Lord, the forces of Satan will not be able to distract us, or will not be able to touch us. And I pray that you'll give your people victory tonight through your word. Help me also as I deliver your word. And thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. And bless our brother Ray Hundley, and the family, Lord, who is now in the hospital. I pray, Lord, that you will just be with them and help them, Lord. Thank you very much for your goodness once again, and for all the things that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grateful of God's blessing. That's our topic tonight. We experience a lot of victories. That's why I bring this message tonight, because a lot of blessings already that we have experienced, and I don't want that the blessings that we receive, we will be found ungrateful to the Lord, not expressing our thankfulness to him of the things that he has done. And it should not be named among us to be ungrateful, because we ought to be grateful. We ought to be thankful that in everything that we do, we will give thanks to the Lord, because our God, the Lord our God that we are serving, is a very faithful God. He is faithful even though we are not faithful. The Lord remains faithful despite of our unfaithfulness. That is why there is no amount of words really that can describe the goodness of God in our lives. And in fact, the Apostle John said, what manner of love that the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And far beyond of what we deserve, the Lord our God has given us those things. And again, it is very, very sad that God's people failed to give him thanks. God's people failed to recognize the goodness of God in our lives. And I will tell you, if you are like that, you have not been given to the Lord the thanks or the praise that he deserves. We practically deprive him of what is his. And we feel good in every day in our lives, and the Lord's blessing coming upon us, but we fail to give him thanks. And we don't feel guilty of the blessings that we receive. I'm not saying that if there are blessings that come your way, you ought to be feeling guilty. No. But I would say, if you fail to give thanks to the Lord, you ought to be guilty. But again, it's not the end of the road when you fail to give thanks to the Lord of the good things that you have received. You can at any time come to the Lord and pray and ask God to forgiveness and say your praises to him. You see, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. What's that in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9? Is it 9? 1:9? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, that is what we need to do. The Lord has been so good to you, and you can know it. There's no shadow of a doubt that you really are blessed by the Lord and you have failed to you remember, oh, I have not praised the Lord yesterday. Once you recognize that, you know, get into your knees and say to the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I am so blessed, but Lord, I have failed. I have failed to praise you of what you have done. Lord, thank you. It's not too late. It's not too late. But never, my friend, linger to give to God the thanks that he deserves, because our God is very faithful and he needs to be praised, because that's what he is. The Lord our God is, you know, needs to be praised because of the greatness of his person, because the greatness of God, of our God. And again, as a church, we have so much victories in our lives. We have so much victories in our church that he has given to us, and in my life and also in the church. And I see that how the Lord worked in your life also, and the victories that the Lord bestowed or given to us. It's just a lot of things to praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord for all the favors that he has given to us, and remain joyful in him. Be joyful, be thankful, and just think about the Lord, think about him, and you will begin to be joyful. So again, we have great victories. But what if, Pastor, we have some bad things happening to us? No, even though those bad things are not really bad things, you know, because there's nothing in this world, nothing that will happen to this world that will catch God by surprise. Nothing. So therefore, God knows how to solve this. God knows why, the purpose and the reasons why it's happening. God knows all of that. So therefore, if, you know, this is what, there is one thing that I would suggest to you, that you ought to be startling, you ought to be, you know, panicking, you ought to be worrying when things happening to us and God is surprised. When God is surprised, oh, that's dangerous. Because that means something that's happening and God is not prepared to deal with it. But my friend, the Lord our God knows already. He knows the end from the beginning. That is why we are not even, you know, given the slightest of hint from the Lord Jesus Christ to be worrisome, to be, you know, he even rebuked his disciples. Why you are so worried about the future? Why you are worried about what you shall eat and what you shall drink, or where without shall you be clothed? I think, where is that? I think Matthew. Matthew 6:30. Let's take a look at these verses, because this is the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples. And I said, go verse number 20, go up rather, maybe 25. I said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take your thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. He repeated that many times. Because we have the tendency to think of You know that the need and who's going to supply us, and now we have no money, and now I'm about to lose my job, and how am I going to pay my bills? We all, you know, we are very much, you know, worrying so much. But the Lord repeatedly, you know, advised or told his disciples to not think about it. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have so much evil every day. That's enough. Do not think of tomorrow, because if you add 2 days, wow, you will be overwhelmed. Some people, they commit suicide because they could not handle it. Why? Because they are thinking of today's problem and they added so much problem of tomorrow, plus the next day's problem, plus the next day's problem, and so many problems, they just overwhelmed themselves and said, oh, there's no hope. They commit suicide because they could not handle it. No, that is why the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What you have faced for the day, what problem you are facing for the day, that's enough. Pray to the Lord. Lord, thank you for the problem, because this problem enables me to run to you. Lord, thank you for the problems of the day, because through this problem, Lord, you will show your power and your miracle and your favor upon me. And thank you for the days past that I was able to overcome those problems, because you are with me. That's what David said in Psalm chapter 23, a favorite Psalm, verse number 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So again, brothers and sisters, whenever problems will come, and they will surely come. But again, do not be too, you know, troubled about it, because the Lord our God knows all of those things. Nothing in this world that catches God by surprise. Everything is calculated, and God already, you know, knows the end. And we are on that side, that with the Lord on the winning side, and therefore we ought not to be troubled. Although we are, because we are just human being, but we have this assurance from the Lord that do not think so much about tomorrow. Do not think so much of what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and just praise the Lord for the day. Rejoice today. Rejoice in the Lord today, because today is ours. That is why today is a gift. That's, we call it present. Present and a gift is synonymous. So today is a present. So today is a gift. So therefore, we ought to thank the Lord, because we have this day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because today, we have no power tomorrow. I do not know if we can get up in the morning. We have no power. And we have no power to get to the past, because it's already history. But we have the power today to give thanks to God today. Lord, thank you. We can do it today. You have no power to say thank you tomorrow, because we do not know whether it will come. But again, this is God's gift to us, because today is a present. You see, lots and lots of blessings and good victories and blessings of a lot of many other things. And the Lord needs to be praised. And there's a lot of things that we need to thank, to be thankful to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. There was even this preacher, pastor, you know him, Pastor Bob Hughes. Pastor Bob Hughes still thanked the Lord despite of his ailment. He's got cancer. He had cancer. And he died with that cancer. He served the Lord in Cebu City. He was the first missionary to Cebu City, Philippines in 1950s. And he served the Lord for 16 faithful years. He's got 2 children serving the Lord along with him and two daughters and his wife, and along the process of his service to the Lord, at the age of 46, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. And that colon cancer eventually took his life. But the days before his death, he preached the word of God, and he preached with so much power in his preaching. And especially I heard his preaching, the last sermon that he made on this earth, entitled, "Carest Thou Not That We Perish." So he preached the word of God, and he asserted in this message that even though we are seemingly having some troubles in this life, but we ought still to thank the Lord even for the bad things that happen to our lives. Now, we ought to give thanks to the Lord for all those bad things. But I will tell you, those bad things are not really happening to us. How much more we ought to be thankful to the Lord. He's got cancer and he thanked the Lord. I have cancer too. I thank the Lord. But what about you? What about us with all those blessings that we receive from the Lord? And why are we like discouraged in the work of the Lord? Why are we so discouraged and we have no power? You know, sometimes we come to church dragging our legs, our feet. It seems like it's so hard to get to church. I tell you, my friend, we ought to be, you know, the more alive people in this world, because we have an opportunity to serve and to praise the Lord. We ought to be, alive. We ought to be joyful. We ought to be jubilant when we have this service that the Lord has given to us. Do not think that you are a loser. We are on the winning side. Our position in the Lord is on the winning side, and the Lord is on our side. So therefore, even though that pastor, Pastor Bob Hughes, when he got that cancer, he stayed in the hospital thanking God. Because if he did not have cancer, he could not have the chance to shake the hands of those old folks in the hospitals. While he was staying in the hospital, in the morning, he goes around like a doctor. He goes around and going from room to room and talking to people and sharing the gospel to those people. And a lot of people got saved in that hospital. You see, even in his calamity, even in his sickness and his disease, that pastor was still, you know, giving God the glory. Winning people, these old people, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, if he was well, he might not be able to meet them until those people die. He might not be able to share the gospel to them. And again, wherever it is. And also another blessing that he said in his preaching, I can't forget, when he said that he thanked the Lord for his cancer. Because of his cancer, a lot of people are donating to his program, 1 million Bibles program. He had a program before to print 1 million Bibles for the church in Cebu City. And it was accomplished before he died. And lots of Bibles were spread all over the place. And a lot of people got saved because of his project. And not long after that, he passed away. But again, in his last sermon on earth, he encouraged a lot of people, even those people with physical disabilities, that, you know, they are not disqualified because of their disabilities to serve the Lord. Even those people with physical handicap, he encouraged them to serve the Lord. There was that in the testimony of his, in the sermon, that there was this young boy, tall and promising basketball player. He thought that he would go to NBA because of his ability, and he was already, you know, on his way to be drafted to the NBA. But before that happens, he lost his legs. And he was so angry at God, and he was resentful, he was full of anger in his heart, because why God allowed him, you know, he could have been a superstar in the NBA, and he could have been so rich, and the Lord, you know, allowed that to lose his legs. And he listened to Pastor Babu's preaching. You know, he began to thank the Lord. He began to ask forgiveness from the Lord, because, you know, Pastor Babu's had cancer and about to die, and he's well. He lost his leg, but he's still alive, and maybe more years in his life. So he thanked the Lord for that, and he stopped being angry on God. You see, he encouraged that young man, to serve the Lord, despite he's only got one leg. You see, but we, most of you are very much, you know, very much better than Pastor Babuson and this young boy that lost his one leg. But again, my friend, we ought to be thankful to God. Thank the Lord that we are able to come to church. Thank the Lord that we have our family. Thank the Lord that we have our parents. Thank the Lord that you have your spouse, your wife, your husband. Thank the Lord that they are well. Thank the Lord that we can send our children to school. Thank the Lord that we have food on our table. And thank the Lord that we have jobs. I'll tell you, we have a lot of things, so thank the Lord. There is no, you know, want of, you know, thanksgiving. Supposed to be. But again, our mind is focusing on something else that really displays that important part in our life. The reason why we have our being is because God wants us to praise Him, and we don't. That is why we really have something that we need to change. And again, Pastor Babius, again, I cannot really get away from his testimony. His death was a painful and excruciating ordeal. The pain that he's been through, the life that he lived. He was living the last few weeks in agony and in like so much pain, night and day. He was like injected with whatever things that just for him to come down with the pain. His pain is so intense. But again, to his last breath, he obeyed his Lord. He obeyed his Savior. And he obeyed God faithfully. He was faithful in his service to the Lord while he was alive until the day of his death. But again, why some people are able to thank the Lord and some people are not? Why? Why some people are able to thank the Lord in this passion like this of Pastor Babius? They were able to thank the Lord in such a manner that you could not imagine. If we were in his position, we would be, you know, we would not open our mouth, and we would be grumpy all day, day in and day out. We will just be angry because of what happened. But why these people are able to thank the Lord in such a passion? The reason is because it revolves around the foundation of gratitude. There is this foundation of gratitude. Why? First of all, because of his salvation. That salvation that he received from the Lord is something that, you know, though this earth may crumble, the promise of the Lord will remain, that his soul will remain, that his soul is saved. That is a fact that, my friend, all of us ought to be thankful to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus, that he has given to us for free. You don't have to work it out because he's given this to you. And that what Jesus Christ has given to you is free and no charge. You don't have to pay it. You just receive it. And that is a gift. And that is an unspeakable gift that, as Apostle Paul described it, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 56. 56, he said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. You see, the victory over death. Death is a cruel, there's no one that can conquer death. But when Jesus Christ, you know, came to this world and died for the penalty of sins of mankind, he conquered the death, and he conquered that successfully. And when he did conquer death, he also conquered sin. That is why all of us now are able to conquer death, and we're able to conquer sin. And that fact, my friend, that fact alone, we ought to be thankful to the Lord. We ought to be grateful to the Lord. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through us. It's not through us going through, you know, fighting sin every day. No, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And because of that, you know, Calvary's victory 2,000 years ago, today, now we are all about to go to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. Notice again, oh pastor, that has been 2,000 years ago. It's not applicable to us. No, it is applicable to us. It is applicable to us because that is the redemption plan. That is the atonement. That is the shedding of blood required by God. Where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ did that, it covers the sins of the past, and it covers the sins of the future, and the present, and also covers the sin of the future, because it is the atonement for the sins forever. That is one sacrifice that can atone sin forever. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Only once, but for all. In other words, the sins of Adam can be forgiven by that offering. The sins of Adam happened 6,000 years ago. And all those people that came into this world and went until the time of Jesus Christ, all those sins can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all those sins that have been done in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the sins that have been done after that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that sin and those sins have been conquered, because Jesus Christ offered his body once for all. Verse number 11. This is the priest now. I'm talking about the Catholic always doing these masses every single day. And they keep on repeating these masses and masses after masses. And again, the Bible says, can never take away sins. When the priest will say, your sins will be forgiven, he is lying. Because there is no sin can be forgiven, can be taken away in the masses. Yeah. Masses cannot take away sins according to this verse. And every priest standing daily ministering, that's masses, ministering and offering often times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But verse number 12 is ours. He said, but this man, Jesus Christ, he said, after he had offered one sacrifice, only one, will never be repeated. That's why we don't come to our church, oh, who's going to bring a lamb? We need to offer a lamb for the forgiveness of our sins. We don't do that anymore. Because the lamb that has been offered already. The ultimate lamb of God. As John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." So that Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross, offered his body, offered his life, and when he did that, he is the atonement for the sins of the world. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, notice the word forever, because that powerful blood that was shed on that cross 2,000 years ago is not ordinary blood, it is not man's blood, it is God's blood that can wash away the sins of the past, wash away the sins of the present, and wash away the sins of the future. That is why that blood is so powerful, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by one offering, it said here, verse 14, for by one offering, he had perfected, perfect. You don't have to add to it. If we bring lamb today and offer that lamb for the sacrifice of our sins, that is blasphemy to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blasphemy of what he has done at the cross. And that is blasphemy to God, because God the Father will not accept that offering. The only offering that God the Father will accept is the ultimate offering of Jesus. Well, Pastor, why those people offer sacrifice then? Those people in the past was commanded by God to offer, they were commanded by God to offer lamb sacrifice, because that is in fulfilling of what's going to what God is going to do in the ultimate sacrifice of a lamb.
Yeah.
And that is the love of God, Jesus Christ. So those offering of lambs are okay, because that will show to God that these people, they believe in the coming Messiah. That coming Messiah is the perfect sacrifice for sin. And when he did, when Jesus Christ arrived, this offering of lambs was supposed to cease, supposed to stop, because the fulfillment has arrived. But they continued. When they continued, that shows that they have no faith in this lamb. Supposed to be the offering of the lamb in the past, before Jesus Christ arrived, is their faith to God that will bring that ultimate lamb. Then when the ultimate lamb has arrived, well, they still continue offering the lamb. So that means they have not really understood it. And they do not really accept the Savior, the Messiah, in the person of Jesus Christ, because they are still continuing offering lambs. The Seventh-day Adventists, if they continue doing this, if they will offer lamb, that is not going to be acceptable to God, because that offering can only be done once. The offering of the lambs in the past is the picture of the coming Messiah.
Yep.
And when the real Messiah came, that offering of lambs is supposed to cease. For by one offering, he had perfected forever, them that are sanctified. Who's that them? That's us also today. And my grandchildren, my children, my great-grandchildren, I don't have it yet. Great-great-grandchildren, I don't have them yet. But if the Lord will tarry his coming, and I will have my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren, their sins will also be forgiven through this offering of Jesus Christ. Because that offering is the one that is acceptable to God, because he had perfected, Jesus Christ perfected forever them that are sanctified. My friend, our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our gratitude. Because we are saved, we have this foundation of gratitude, and that is our salvation. Again, another thing, what is our foundation of gratitude? Not just our salvation, but our security. Our security of our salvation. People are so glad, happy in the Lord, because there is salvation in Jesus Christ. But there are people who believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ, but still sad because they are not sure whether they can keep it. But for you and me tonight, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this security of our salvation. And that security is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able, my friend, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, what Apostle Paul is saying, that it is God who is able to bring him to the final destination. He believes in Christ, and living day by day, sometimes you come across with sin and you stumble and fall, and then you get back up again because the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to forgive us. You can come to him for forgiveness. And when we come, we keep on living our life and walking in this life. My friend, Apostle Paul said he is persuaded that God is able. It is the Lord who is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That day, when Jesus Christ will come, the Apostle Paul believed that, you know, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that will be, is the one who is able to take him to that future. Me, I cannot assure myself that I cannot sin tomorrow or the next day. I cannot assure myself that I will still be, you know, faithful to the Lord. But I cannot assure myself that by my own good works and by my own goodness, I will get to heaven. No, I cannot. But I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give me assurance of my salvation. It is because of the security that is coming from the Lord Jesus. His security in our life. The security of our salvation. And not just the security and salvation, but also his steadfastness. The Lord is steadfast. That's why we ought to be grateful. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 22 and 23, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We ought to be thankful to God and praising the Lord. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Because, Lord, today is another day. Thank you, Lord, for adding a day to my life and help me to be faithful to you. We ought to be speaking this to the Lord every single day, every single time. Whenever we have big victories in our family, in our lives, personal walk with the Lord, we ought to be grateful to God and giving God the glory that he deserves. You see, in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, this is the question. Have you received Jesus Christ the Lord? Because, my friend, it is a joyful thing to be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a joyful thing to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. It is a joy, and it is always a joy that to think that, oh, Lord, there are a lot of problems in this world, but Lord, thank you that I am saved. Lord, thank you that all these things will be finished, or when all these things will be done, then I will be with you, and I can see your face. Oh, what a joy to see the face of the Lord. And here, Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In other words, the word abounding, that, you know, gives us the idea that our joy is like going upward. Not stagnant. Worse is not being joyful at all. We ought to be joyful, and our joyfulness is abounding. Abounding, going upward and upward and upward. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. It is because of God's steadfastness. Because of God's, you know, faithfulness. Must be grateful for the Lord. We must be praising his name in Psalm 110, or 100, verse number 4. Psalm 100, verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. When you come to the Lord, when you come to the service, your joy must be already present in your heart. When you come to the Lord, there must be joy in you coming to the church. Joy. That should precede the service. That should precede, before service starts, before singing starts, joy already in your heart. You see, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see, grateful for the Lord and also grateful for the Lord's provision. Wow, looking back, how the Lord provided us all throughout these years here in New Zealand, how the Lord, blessed us with so much blessings, and in every front, there is blessing here, blessing there, and blessing everywhere. And there is always blessing everywhere. And you see, we ought to be grateful for the Lord's provision. Our Lord, giving us that example of thanksgiving. He gave us example of how to be thankful. And also grateful to the Lord's people. The Lord's people. We have to understand that the Lord is so, faithful to us. And also the Lord has given us people that are also faithful. What a blessing it is for a church to have faithful brethren, faithful people. Because, you know, faithful people can is contagious. A happy person in the Lord is very contagious. Some people are sad. We cannot really avoid it. Sometimes people, we can find them sad. But when he comes along with a happy person, you know, things will change. Hearts will change. So how grateful we are to the Lord for God's people who are faithful and joyful in the Lord. Because, you see, it can make us praise the Lord and we can make us thank the Lord. Ephesians 1:15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." When Apostle Paul learned about all these things are happening all over the place, people loving the Lord, people are so faithful to the Lord, and they are doing service to the Lord Jesus, and they are joyful. And because of that news, verse 16, he said, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." When the Apostle Paul, does his prayer to the Lord, he mentions all these people. He mentions, "Lord, thank you for this brother. Lord, thank you for this sister. Thank you for this family, Lord. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that they have. Thank you for the assurance of joy and the assurance of salvation and the joyful service." All those things. The Apostle Paul mentioned them. He said here, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You see, that is the foundation of gratitude. Another thing, not just the foundation of gratitude, but also the fruit, the fruit of gratitude. What is the fruit of our gratitude? My friend, the first fruit that will come to our gratitude is, you know, praise. When we are thankful to the Lord, what will happen to our mouth? We'll give praise. "Lord, you are so great. We thank you and we praise your name." That is what happened to a person who is grateful to the Lord. Do you think that an angry person can praise the Lord? No. It cannot give praise. It cannot pray, it cannot praise, it cannot sing, it cannot. There's nothing there that an angry person or an angry heart can do to praise the Lord. But a fruit of our gratitude to the Lord is praise. Because grateful Christians praise the Lord. Oh, I'm not angry with God. No, but if you have not praised the Lord, my friend, that is sad. That is equivalent to you being angry with God. Because why you don't give God a praise? We ought to give God a praise. Again, we are told in the verse that we have read a while ago, in Psalm 100, verse number 4, that we have to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. With praise. You know, come to church early, sing along with us, sing the hymns, because singing of the hymns elevates the Lord. Singing of the hymns will praise the Lord, because hymns are songs that can magnify the Lord. And do not miss that in the service. Come early and then magnify the Lord, because our mouth are created, you know, we are created for that purpose, to praise the Lord. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. It should come out from your mouth, at least. It dwells in your heart, it comes out of your mouth, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For the Lord, verse number 5, is good. There's no question about this, that our God is very good. And the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. And grateful Christians praise the Lord. In opposite, ungrateful Christians not praise the Lord, but pain the Lord. That is sad, that is true. It gives God the pain. Ungrateful Christians pain the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It happens to churches, it happens to families, it happens to individuals, that even though they are saved, even though they have Christ, but still their lives pain the Lord, because they are not grateful to God. And therefore, they give God the pain, not the praise. He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous time. Why perilous time? This word perilous is dangerous. Why it's dangerous? Why? Because it's okay for the unbelievers to do evil things, because that's normal to them. They are bound to do what Satan's bidding in their lives. But this is dangerous when the Christian people, the saved people, the people of God, the people who are bound to go to heaven, are now doing those things that are done by the believers. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. If a Christian is nothing but loving himself, that is very dangerous. A Christian and then only thinks of himself, that is unchristian. Jesus Christ does not think of himself, because if Jesus Christ, you know, thinks of himself, he would not climb up to that cross. Why should I be punished here? I don't commit sin. Let those people who commit sin be punished and hung on the cross. Then all of us will be hung on the cross. Jesus Christ did not die because of his sin. Yeah. Jesus Christ died because of our sins.
Yeah.
So therefore, Jesus Christ is, you know, doing us favor. He gave us the favor. We are supposed to be the ones punished. But he took our penalty and put it upon his own body. And again, if a Christian is selfish, that is unchristian. If a Christian only thinks of his own, of his own pleasure, of his own convenience, of his own you know, things, just about his own. He doesn't care about other people. Of course, he will not pray for other people because he has no time. If he has time to pray, he will pray for himself, not for other people. That is selfish. And that is, again, unchristian. Because ungrateful Christians pain the Lord. You have to, you know, understand that if your action is only about your own and your goal and projections in the future is only about your well-being and you know where you go and here and there, and so you plan already your future. Oh, that is unchristian. Because all the disciples of Jesus Christ, all the apostles, they all died martyrs. They all died martyrs. They did not die because of their own, you know, pleasure. They died because of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So they did not die selfish. They died for others. You see, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it's very, very visible today that even Christians, they love themselves more than God. They love themselves more than others. They love themselves more. In fact, they will fight. They will fight for little substance, maybe money. They will fight and they will go to court. They will go to the magistrates. They will go to the judges because they are fighting for little things. Covetous. You see, covetous. Boasters, you know, when they have something, they will show it off. They will show it off to people. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, parents to children, sometimes. A son will sue their parents in court. And the same way, the parents also sue the child in court. Where is the love? Where is the compassion of a parent towards the children? Where is it? It's gone. No more natural affection. That is natural for a father and mother to have compassion towards the child, towards their children. But they go to court. The natural affection is gone. That is what the Bible says. Without natural affection. Truth breakers, you know, the one that will make a deal and then cancel the deal. When you sign and then you cancel the deal. That is, again, a lot of things are happening. That is why war breaks out. Because one country promised that, okay, we will give you support, we will give you this support, and then when things will turn around, and you know, it happened in World War II, a lot of countries there having this problem, truce breakers, they did not stand what they have said before the problems arise. You see, and false accusers, incontinent, fierce, what the word fierce? First time I you know, there was this Filipina girl being mobbed, attacked by other girls, 13 years old. That, like 14, 13 years old girl, was attacked by two or three 13-year-old girls, but bigger, you know. That Filipina girl was in the news. And those girls were fierce. They are like, you know, they are willing to fight. They are willing to give it a, you know, bloodshed. We don't have that kind before. But the world is changing. People are incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you do good, you will be despised. That is why you will hide in your workplace. You will hide. When you speak the language of the Bible, And people will despise you because you know you are religious and you are a bigot, and you will be afraid to open up about the Word of God because people do not like it. Because a lot of people now are despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's very much, very much visible today. People will go to other places, leaving their ministries because of money. They will move to another place because of, you know, green pasture. Pasture is not about, you know, God's pasture, but it's about the world's pasture. You see, because they are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, only a form. They have a form. They seem to be godly. They pray. They have their Bible, but they don't read it. They have their church, but they don't really love it. They have their ministry, but they are just forced into. But all of these kind of things, they have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There is no real root of joy in their what they are doing for the Lord. They are just going along the flow. They go with the flow because that is common to our environment to serve the Lord, but they are also serving the Lord. But I will tell you, my friend, the Bible says, Apostle Paul advises us from such churn away. Churn away. You see, my friend, you can only be one of these two. Grateful Christian or ungrateful Christian. There's nothing in between. In your Christian life, if you are saved, then you have these two things that can happen to your life. You can be grateful or you can be ungrateful. You see? And the other thing, the fruit of this gratitude is not just the praise that will come out from our mouth, but also forgiveness. I will tell you, forgiveness is the most difficult thing in life. We cannot forgive. I'm sure that it's so hard to forgive. But because of Christ living in us, we can. And that changed the whole thing in our life. Because the Lord has given us the power to forgive. It's really hard to forgive. You know, if you will speak to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I know that you will love it when God said, okay, I will forgive you all your sins. I know you will love it because it is such a joy when your sins are forgiven. But the forgiveness of God is a very, you know, it's not the same as the love of God. The forgiveness of God is not the same as the love of God. Because forgiveness, our forgiveness from God will depend on how much we will be forgiven by God will depend on how much we forgive others. You see that prayer? The Lord's Prayer, they said that, Lord's Prayer, but it's just a sample prayer. It said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive others their sins. As we, in other words, how much you forgive others, that is just much how the Lord will forgive you. If others had sinned against you, and you have forgiven half, whatever your sins to the Lord, God also will forgive half. Because it is just equivalent. The word as there is just an equivalence. Notice again, where is that verse? Can we find that verse? In Matthew 6, verse number 9 to 16. But verse number 9 said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And when you reach verse number 12, and forgive us our debts. And there's a word, little word, as we forgive our debtors. We love to be forgiven by God all our debts. But when someone owe us, we hate them. We hate them. This is the story there. There's a story why this is said. Because there was this servant of the king, and this servant of the king, he owes like 10,000 talents of gold. 10,000 talents of gold. That one talent is 50 kilograms of gold. 10,000, it's a lot of money. But this servant is a rich servant, and he also has other servants under him. When the king called for him, he said, "Come on here." And he asked and begged for his life. "Oh king, please forgive me. Show mercy. I will pay you my debt. Give me time. I will pay you." "You cannot pay it. Okay, I forgive you. Don't worry about that. You can go home. Don't worry about the debt." I believe he was so happy and, you know, joyful, having received forgiveness of all those debts. And oh, while he was happy and joyful, along the way, he met those people also that owed him money. In fact, it's just pence, like $100. And what happened there when he met that guy? He grabbed him by the throat. "Pay me that thou owest. Oh, give me a chance to..." No. And he put that man to in prison. When he placed that man into prison, other servants learned of what happened. Then he reported it to the king. And the king called this man, "I forgive you of all your debts. And you ought to show mercy also to those people around you." "Okay, now I change my mind. Pay me all your debts, and I will put you in prison until you pay me all." I will tell you, my friend, the Lord, you know, the forgiveness of God is something that you need to look into this. The criteria or the requirements of forgiveness. The requirements of God's forgiveness is so simple. Forgive all people of their sins against you, then by that measure, the Lord will also forgive you all your debts to Him. By that measure, the Lord will forgive you all your sins. If you can forgive all people around you their sins against you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians 4:30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Again, there's the word "as." In other words, the forgiveness that you can receive from God is only commensurate on how much you forgive other people. Always like this. Whenever you see forgiveness, the story or lessons about forgiveness in the Bible, you can always see this word "as," because that is equivalent. How much you forgive others is just that much that God will forgive you. If you are able to forgive all the people of their sins against you, then God is able also to forgive you all of your debts. This is the part that the Apostle Paul, you know, told us, you ought to be grateful to God because God has forgiven you your sins. You ought to be grateful to God. And because you are grateful to God, you ought also to forgive others. forgive others as God has forgiven you. That is the fruit of gratitude. There is praise, there is forgiveness, and there is also faithfulness. Faithfulness. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. God's faithfulness is the one that can, is the fruit of our gratitude, because God is so faithful. And God is a giving God. Because of God, he gives us all things, and therefore we can offer back unto the Lord all things. You see, now in conclusion, I do not know what is your foundation of gratitude. Because here our Bible tells us that the foundation of our gratitude is because of God's salvation that he has given to us. Because of God's security of assurance of salvation and his steadfastness. And again, because of all that, that is the foundation why we are grateful. And our focus only on the Lord. We focus on the Lord, and the fruit that we bear in this Christian life that we have is the fruit of praise. The fruit of gratitude is the praises that will come out from our heart, come out from our mouth, and all of those blessings that the Lord has given to us. We ought to be giving to the Lord the praise that he deserves. Grateful of God's blessing. And that is, my friend, enough reason why we ought to be thankful, and why we ought to be grateful is because our God is so good to us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, O God, for your faithfulness to us. Lord, there are a lot of things that we can learn through your word. And what a blessing, Lord. What a blessing that through all this gratefulness that we can have in our heart, because we ought to be joyful, we ought to be grateful. Lord, a lot of fruits that will come out because of that alone. And Lord, help us to always think about your goodness, to always think about your faithfulness to us, so that, Lord, every single day will be a day of joyfulness to us. Because you are our God. You are our God who loves us more than anything in this world. Lord, you are the only person that really loves us. And Lord, teach us your ways. And we want to learn more about you, Lord. We want to learn more about how to live our life. That's why, Lord, bring us to church every time we have opportunity to learn. And thank you, Father, for giving us all these marvelous blessings. And Lord, continue to work in our hearts, in our lives. Help us also to be an influence to our family. Help us to be a blessing to our neighborhoods. And help us, Lord, to be a blessing in the church. So that, Lord, our church will be also a blessing to our community. And continue, Lord, to pour your blessing upon us as we enjoy the praises that we can give to your name. And Lord, accept, Lord, your people's praises. And help us, Lord, to be faithful and constant in our devotion and in our service to your name. Bless all of us, and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.